All right, so let's get right into it. Today, we're talking weather.
A pilot's favorite topic, right?
Well, maybe not always favorite, but definitely the most important.
Couldn't agree more.
Because no matter how much we plan or how excited we are for that flight.
It all comes down to what's happening up there.
Exactly. The weather is the ultimate decision maker.
And there's so much information to sift through these days.
So true. Between those METARs and TAFs and all the different charts.
Plus all those in-flight advisories, AirMets, SIGMETs.
PIREPs. Don't forget those.
Right, how could we? PIREPs are gold.
Like getting a little whisper from a fellow pilot saying, hey, watch out for this.
Exactly. So today we're going to do a deep dive into all of that.
Going beyond the basics to uncover those little nuggets of wisdom.
Those insights that can help us make those smart, gonna-go decisions.
Because at the end of the day, safety is paramount.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nothing is more important.
Okay, so let's start with those official weather sources.
The ones we absolutely need to consult before every flight.
You know those handy weather apps and websites we use for everyday life?
They're great for a general overview.
But they're not official sources for flight planning.
Right. We need to rely on those government-approved sources.
Like 1-800-WX-BRIEF or aviationweather.gov.
Or ForeFlight, which pulls in all that official data.
And the reason is
We need that detailed flight-specific information.
the stuff that's tailored to our route and altitude.
Exactly. So now that we've got our official sources lined up.
Let's talk about those cryptic codes that can feel a bit intimidating.
Yes, METARs and TAF.
I remember when I first started flying, those things looked like a foreign language.
It's like trying to crack a secret code.
But once you understand the key elements.
They become incredibly valuable.
So let's break it down for our listeners.
Okay, so a METAR is a report of current weather conditions at a specific airport.
And it's issued hourly, right?
Most of the time, yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes more frequently if the weather is changing rapidly.
So it gives us a snapshot of what's happening right now.
Exactly. While a TAF is a forecast of expected conditions.
And that one covers a longer period.
Usually 24 hours, but sometimes up to 30.
So METAR is for now, TAF is for later.
Precisely. Now, both of these reports follow a specific structure.
With lots of abbreviations and codes.
But once you learn the language, it all starts to make sense.
Okay, so let's take a look at a real example from our source material here.
It's a METAR for a busy airport.
Okay, I see it. It starts with the station identifier, right?
Exactly. Those four letters tell us which airport the report is for.
And then we have the date and time the report was issued.
Followed by the wind information.
So that tells us the wind direction speed and any gusts.
Right? And then we have visibility.
Measured in statute miles.
Next up, we have weather phenomena.
Like rain, snow, or fog.
Exactly. And those are coded using specific abbreviations.
Okay, then we have sky conditions.
So that tells us the amount and type of clouds.
Like clear skies, scattered clouds, overcast.
Right, and then we have temperature and dew point.
Which are important for understanding moisture and stability in the atmosphere.
And finally, we have the altimeter setting.
That's crucial for calibrating our instruments.
So there you have it, the key elements of a METAR.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
Not at all. And once you get familiar with the structure,
You can quickly scan those reports for the information you need.
exactly. It's like learning a new language, but it's worth the effort.
Okay, I've got a question.
Shoot.
I've seen those little AO1 and AO2 remarks in METARs.
Ah, good catch. Those tell us about the type of precipitation sensors at the station.
So basically, they give us a clue about how accurate the precipitation reports are.
Exactly. It's all about understanding those details.
Fascinating. It's like a behind-the-scenes look at how weather data is collected.
Right. Okay, so now that we've tackled METARs and TAFs.
Let's move on to something a bit more visual weather charts.
Ah, yes, those colorful maps that tell us the story of the atmosphere.
They can be a bit overwhelming at first.
Especially when you see all those lines and symbols.
But just like with METARs and TAF,
Once you learn the language.
It all starts to make sense.
Okay, so let's start with the surface analysis chart.
That one shows us the big picture, right?
Exactly. It depicts current weather conditions over a large area.
Like pressure systems fronts.
And those fascinating station models.
Oh, yes, those little symbols that pack in so much information.
It's like a mini weather report in a single symbol.
Wind direction, speed, temperature, dew point.
Cloud cover, current weather, even pressure tendency.
It's incredible how much they can squeeze in there.
Right. It's a testament to the power of symbols.
Okay, so we've got the surface analysis chart for the big picture.
But there are many other types of charts, each with its own purpose.
Like the radar summary chart.
That one's all about precipitation.
Showing us where the rain, snow, or thunderstorms are happening.
And how intense they are.
So it's like having a live radar feed right in front of us.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Then we have the winds and temperatures aloft chart.
That one tells us the wind speed and direction at different altitudes.
Crucial information for flight planning.
And then there are the significant weather prognostic charts.
Those ones focus on forecasting hazardous conditions.
Like icing, turbulence, thunderstorms.
They come in different flavors, 12-hour, 24-hour.
Even mid-level and high-level charts for different altitudes.
So we can get a heads up about those potential trouble spots along our route.
Okay, so we've covered the official sources and the basic charts.
But what about those in-flight advisories?
The ones that keep us informed once we're up in the air.
Right, because weather can change rapidly.
And we need to stay ahead of the game.
So let's talk about airmets, sigmets, and convective sigmets.
Those are the big three.
Exactly. And each one addresses specific weather hazards.
Airmets think A for advisories aimed at smaller aircraft.
They cover things like moderate icing, moderate turbulence, sustained surface winds of 30 knots or greater, and extensive mountain obscurations.
Okay, so airmets are for those conditions that might not be hazardous to larger aircraft,
but could still impact our flight, especially in smaller planes.
Now, what about sigmets? Those sound more serious.
They are. Think S for significant weather.
These ones are issued for weather that's hazardous to all aircraft.
We're talking severe icing, extreme turbulence, widespread dust storms.
Even volcanic ash.
These advisories are only sent out when those serious conditions are either expected or happening right now.
Got it. So if we see a sigmet, it's definitely time to pay attention.
Now let's not forget about convective sigmets.
Those are the thunderstorm ones, right?
Exactly. Think C for convection.
They cover thunderstorms that are producing or expected to produce.
Surface winds greater than 50 knots, hail greater than 3/4 of an inch in diameter.
Or tornadoes.
And those ominous lines of thunderstorms.
So convective sigmets are like the severe weather alerts of the aviation world.
You got it. They're crucial for staying ahead of those powerful thunderstorms.
Okay, but it's not just about official advisories, is it?
Nope. We've also got those real-time reports from our fellow pilots.
PIE.
They're like little nuggets of gold.
Giving us firsthand intel about what's actually happening up there.
Cloud tops, icing conditions, turbulence.
Sometimes those PIREPs provide information that we just wouldn't get from those ground-based reports.
And they can fill in the gaps between those official reporting stations.
Giving us a more complete picture of the weather.
Exactly. It's like having a network of weather observers in the sky.
Speaking of things that can catch us off guard, let's talk about wind shear.
Yes, that silent danger that can really ruin our day.
Especially during takeoff and landing.
Wind shear is a sudden drastic change in wind speed and onward direction.
And it can happen at any altitude.
But it's particularly dangerous close to the ground.
I've heard stories about pilots encountering wind shear on approach.
One minute you have a nice headwind, and the next,
you're slammed with a downdraft.
It can be terrifying.
And the most severe type of wind shear is the microburst.
Those are the ones that pack a serious punch in a short amount of time.
Imagine downdrafts up to 6,000 feet per minute.
And headwind losses of 30 to 90 knots.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Especially if we're close to the ground.
So how do we spot those microbursts before they catch us off guard?
Well, they're often associated with heavy rain.
And that ominous ring of blowing dust at the surface.
But sometimes those visual cues are obscured,
making them even more dangerous.
So what are the signs we should be looking for if we suspect we're flying through one?
Like if we're on approach and suddenly our airspeed starts fluctuating.
Or we encounter strong turbulence and a shift from headwind to downdraft.
That's a big red flag, right?
Absolutely. And if we find ourselves in that situation,
the safest option is to execute a go-around immediately.
It's always better to err on the side of caution when it comes to wind shear.
Great point.
So we've covered a lot of ground here.
From deciphering those METARs and TAFs.
To understanding the different types of in-flight advisories.
And recognizing those weather hazards that can really impact our flights.
But there's so much more to explore.
Especially when it comes to making those critical gone-no-go decisions.
And how to leverage technology to become even more weather-savvy pilots.
So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment to delve deeper into those topics.
Don't go anywhere. So before the break, we're getting into all those different weather sources and advisories.
It's like having a whole toolbox full of weather gadgets.
Right. But with so much information out there, it can be tough to know where to start.
Totally. Especially when we're trying to make those critical go-no-go decisions.
And avoid getting stuck in analysis paralysis.
Exactly. We need a system.
A clear process for making sense of it all.
So what's the first step?
Well, before we even open up a weather app or a website,
we need to define our mission.
What's our route? What are our goals for this flight?
And then think about any potential weather hazards along the way.
Right. Like, are we flying over mountains or across a large body of water?
Are we expecting any significant changes in weather patterns?
Once we have a clear picture of our route and the potential hazards,
then we can start gathering the information we need.
And remember, it's all about using those official sources.
1-800-WXBERTIER-EAF, aviationweather.gov, for flight.
We want that detailed flight-specific information.
Tailored to our route and altitude.
Okay, so let's say we've gathered all the data.
What's next?
Now it's time to prioritize.
Figure out what's most important for our specific flight.
Exactly. If we're planning a cross-country flight,
we'll want to pay close attention to those SIGMETs and AIRMETs
to get a sense of the big picture weather patterns.
But if we're just doing a local flight,
those METARs and TAFs for our departure and destination airports might be all we need.
It's about focusing on the information that could have the biggest impact on our flight.
And remember, weather can change rapidly.
So we need to stay updated throughout our flight.
Those in-flight weather updates and Pyer apps become our eyes and ears in the sky.
It's like having a constant stream of real-time weather reports.
And don't forget about air traffic controllers and flight service stations.
They can be valuable resources, too.
Providing us with updates and assistance along the way.
Okay, so let's say we've gathered all the information, analyzed it carefully.
And now we're at that pivotal moment, the go-no-go decision.
This is where it all comes together. What are some key factors we should be considering?
Well, first and foremost,
can our aircraft handle the forecasted weather?
Do we have the necessary equipment and experience?
What about the road itself?
Is it safe, given the current and predicted conditions?
And perhaps most importantly,
are we physically and mentally prepared to fly?
That's where the IMSACE checklist comes in.
Right. We need to be honest with ourselves about any illness medication stress,
alcohol fatigue, or emotional factors that could impact our decision-making.
IMSAFE is a great tool for checking in with ourselves before every flight.
Because even if the weather seems manageable,
if we're not in the right headspace, it can compromise safety.
You know, sometimes I think pilots feel this pressure to push through,
especially if they've already made plans or have passengers waiting.
That get-there-a-datus can be tough to overcome.
It's that insidious pressure to complete a flight.
Even when conditions aren't ideal.
We might downplay risks or convince ourselves that everything will be fine.
But that's a dangerous mindset.
One that can lead to poor decisions.
It's like that little voice in our head whispering, "You can handle it, just push through it."
But we have to remember that safety has to come first.
Sometimes the hardest decision is the smartest one.
Exactly. And a great way to combat get-there-itis
is to have a set of personal minimums.
Weather conditions beyond which we simply won't fly.
So, for example, we might say,
to the ceilings below a certain altitude,
or the visibility is less than a specific distance.
I'm not taking off.
Having those predetermined limits can make those go-no-go decisions much easier.
Especially when we're under pressure or facing a case of get-there-itis.
It's like having that safety buffer built into our decision-making.
And those personal minimums should be based on our experience level and comfort zone.
What might be manageable for one pilot could be challenging for another.
Exactly. We need to be honest with ourselves about our own limits.
Beyond those checklists and guidelines, though,
sometimes the best advice is to simply trust our gut instinct.
That inner voice that's often trying to tell us something.
If something feels off, if we have a nagging doubt about the weather or our ability to handle it,
we should listen to that intuition.
It's better to be on the ground wishing we were in the air than the other way around.
Absolutely. Safety is paramount, and sometimes that means making the tough call to stay on the ground.
You got it. And remember, aviation is a privilege, not a right.
We have a responsibility to exercise that privilege with the utmost care and respect for safety.
So we've talked about building that systematic approach to weather decision making.
Recognizing those sneaky symptoms of get there latus.
And trusting our intuition.
Any other final pearls of wisdom to share?
Just remember that weather knowledge is a continuous journey.
We're all constantly learning and adapting.
The more we understand about weather, the better equipped we'll be to make those safe and informed decisions.
It's like becoming weather detectives in the cockpit. Speaking of detective work, in the next part of our deep dive, we'll be exploring how those cutting-edge tools like graphical forecasts and 4D weather modeling are revolutionizing the way we approach flight planning.
It's a fascinating world of proactive weather strategies that can help us not just avoid bad weather, but actually optimize our flights for both safety and efficiency.
Stay tuned. We'll be back after a short break to unlock the secrets of those futuristic weather tools. Okay, so we're back.
Ready to talk about the future of weather forecasting.
That's right, those cutting-edge tools.
Like graphical forecasts and 4D weather modeling.
They're changing the game for pilots.
We're not just reacting to weather anymore.
We're actually planning our flights around it.
proactively.
So instead of just avoiding those red blobs on the radar,
we're finding the smoothest, most efficient path through those weather systems.
It's like we're moving beyond those static charts
and into the realm of dynamic, real-time weather insights.
So it's not just about knowing what the weather is doing right now.
It's about anticipating how it will evolve over time.
Okay, so tell me more about these graphical forecasts.
Well, they give us a visual representation
of how those weather systems are expected to move and change.
Exactly. You can actually see the weather patterns evolving over time.
Almost like watching a weather movie unfold.
Right. And then there's 4D weather modeling.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What makes it so special?
It adds the dimension of time to those traditional 3D weather models.
So we're not just seeing a snapshot in time.
We're seeing how those weather systems are predicted to evolve.
Over the entire duration of our flight.
Precisely. It's like having a crystal ball for weather forecasting.
But even more impressive.
Absolutely. And you know what else is playing a huge role in all of this?
Let me guess. Artificial intelligence.
You got it. AI is analyzing massive amounts of data.
And identifying patterns that humans might miss.
It's like having a supercomputer as our co-pilot.
Helping us make those critical weather decisions.
And this is just the beginning.
As AI technology continues to advance,
we can expect even more sophisticated tools and insights.
Imagine being able to predict turbulence with incredible accuracy.
Or reroute around developing weather cells in real time.
It would make flying smoother, safer, and more efficient.
And ultimately, that's what it's all about.
These technologies are becoming a reality.
So we as pilots need to stay informed.
And embrace these advancements.
It's no longer enough to simply know how to read a METAR.
We need to understand how to leverage these cutting-edge tools.
To make the best possible decisions in the cockpit.
It's like we're becoming weather strategists.
Using technology to our advantage to optimize our flights.
So to wrap up this deep dive.
I think the key takeaway is this.
Weather knowledge is power.
The more we understand about weather,
the safer and more enjoyable our flying experiences will be.
So keep learning, keep exploring.
And as always, fly safe.